One thing that I thought might be kind of funny is before, say, 9 a.m., if I could get a little participation from, I was assuming moms, but if you're not a mom and you want to add to it, you feel free. Examples of what happens potentially in a mom's life before 9 a.m. You can just shout them out. Anything that happens between, say, even starting at 5. What needs to happen between wake up and 9 a.m.? Breakfast. Get dressed. How many people? Depending on, not just yourself, but whoever else is there. What else? Diapers. Comb the kids' hair. Thank you very much. It's not an easy task. What's that? Get the teenager out of bed. Get the teenager out of bed again in 5 minutes. Get the teenager out of bed again another 5 minutes.
Get the teenager out of the shower.
Get the teenager out of the shower. Good. Oh, there's one back there. Oh, are you pointing to your teenager? Oh, sorry. I love it. So, obviously, we didn't list all of them, but, you know, between checking backpacks and getting lunches made and getting people on the bus on time and getting yourself to work or to school or to your play day or to whatever it might be, even before 9 o'clock in the morning, you can have a crazy day. And we were talking this morning a little bit about the family circus and how really that's not our goal. And at the same time, it's what we live with a lot during the week. And like that video, there's the schedules, there's chores, there's me time, there's husband time, there's friend time, there's God time, there's small group time, there's, and the list can go on and can go on and can go on. And there's no way, like she said at the end of the video, that one person can pull off all of that and do it successfully, do it well and do it right. There's just too many things to be done. And so...
Can I jump in a second?
Of course.
anyway, we talked in broad terms what we were going to do, but we haven't actually just sat down. So we might do this once in a while. We jump in on each other. One of the things that hit me just last night when I was thinking a little bit more about today was how a lot of times, especially in a job, you're generally paid to do more of a specific type of job. And you're go through a whole interview process by which you are selected based on your ability and your skill to do that. And I was trying to think about moms and just the bandwidth that you're expected to know. A kid is sick. Mom's the one that's supposed to figure that out for the most part. Or there's to make food, so you've got to be a chef. You have to be a doctor. You have to be a counselor, a therapist, a beautician. Just this whole range of things that you guys are expected to just know and do.
Yeah, do you want to know a funny story real quick? It's not in the notes. But I went out of town the other weekend, and Chris and I were talking about what would need to happen while I was gone, and I said the most dangerous words, and I didn't realize it, but they were, it's called dance pictures.
Oh, man.
And they happened while I was gone.
It was brutal.
And this is, you made it. It was just very funny because I was thinking, well, you just have to get them to the dance pictures. You get on the tights, you get on the leotard, and you do the hair, and at the hair, we stopped. At the hair, the conversation got silent, and he was like, I don't think I can do that.
I can't pull it off. Yeah.
It was true.
It's true.
It's just very funny, the array of skills that moms need to have. But
that's right.
Getting back on the topic. One of the things that clearly as a mom that we end up spending so much of our time on is thinking through, worrying, wondering, et cetera, about our kids. About should we sign them up for this or should we sign them up for that? I have a child who's a summer birthday. So as soon as I found out her due date, I was like, oh, great. Kindergarten at the summer or kindergarten the next year? And so I had 5 years to wonder about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
to stress about it, not just
yes,
to wonder.
And the thing is, we think about what is going to be the best thing for our kids. And it can become, dare I say, worshipful. That we can put ourselves in such a place in their lives that if we make the mistake or the wrong decision, that they're going to go the wrong direction in life, or they're not going to be set up for the most success or for what God would want for them. And the truth is this comes from a good place. It comes from wanting our kids to do well and wanting to nurture their relationship with God. But as moms, sometimes we can take that a little bit beyond where we need to, and we can obsess to a degree about the things in life that we really could allow laughter in or allow freedom of choice or decide nobody's going to die if we're not in T-ball this summer. We're all going to be just fine, you know? But that we just wanted to talk about that. It really does come from a good place of wanting the best for our kids. And we were talking about some examples in the Bible. We found some moms in the Bible who wanted the best for their kids and had kind of a funny approach.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, as you get into the scripture, how many times you find it just this is written not just for the people then. It reads so fresh. If you brought your Bibles, let's take a look. Let's open up to Matthew 20. And I want to take a look at the first of two passages we're going to look at today. This one is really interesting. In fact, I think hockey mom when I think of this scenario. This is Matthew chapter 20. We're going to look at just verse 20 and 21. We'll also put it up here. We have already put this up on the screen. All right, here it goes. Mother's request. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons, she doesn't get listed by name. Isn't that the life of a mom there? The mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of Jesus. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and sit on your left in your kingdom, which are the positions of honor, right? So here is this mom, motivated from a good place, right? She wants what's best for her kids. But look at what she does. She goes to Jesus and she says, would you do this? And it's fascinating. We're actually going to come back to this passage, and I'll even give you the day. You can mark it down. Don't miss, what is it, August 16th, because we're going to come back to this passage. And it's interesting because there's a what's called a parallel passage in Mark where they take the same passage and you see another account of it. And it's interesting because there the boys speak. And it's interesting to see how much these boys are like their mom.
You be careful there.
Okay. Well, anyway, so I will. Okay. And so you've got this situation here where this mom is motivated by a good thing. She wants what's best for her kids. She comes thinking what's best for her kids is this. And it's very interesting that the irony here is so strong, because if you do a little context reading around this, if you have your Bible open, look at what comes right before it. And that is that Jesus just gets done saying, the Son of Man is going to be turned over, and he's going to suffer, and he's going to die. And then he gives this answer to her too that just basically says, do you even understand what you're asking? This is what you think you want, motivated from a good place. This is what you think you want. But do you understand what you're really asking? And then he transitions and he begins to say these things that are so upside down from our perspective. Whereas we want to control, whereas we want to say, God, answer my prayer this way. Whereas we think that this is the way to go, he says, things aren't always as they seem. In my kingdom, the last are the first and the first will be last. And in my kingdom, it's about obedience. It's about following me and understanding your place. Tag.
My turn.
You're up.
That was reminding me of things like requesting teachers and requesting teams and wanting certain coaches and some of that you can relate to that, because you see a situation and you know your child's personality, and maybe you know the adult's personality, or maybe you don't, and that's what you're afraid of. You can relate to that mom and her desire to have her child in the very best place. And at times we're doing it in the right way and the right motivation. And other times it's motivated by our fear or whatever, and not being able to release our kids into the care of others or whatever that might be. But anyway, that kind of leads into, Chris talks about having some blinding flashes of the obvious, calls them the BFOs. And I had a couple of those of my own every once in a while. But these are the two about mothering or parenting. And one of them I decided is being a mom or being a parent is in some ways or can feel like a cruel joke, because the whole goal of the process of these people that come into your lives turn you inside out and upside down. And the whole goal at the end is to raise them so that they're completely independent of you and they can live in California.
Yeah, which our girls are not going to do.
No, they're not.
No, they're
we're going to tell them, if you leave the house, you might not be able to.
Yeah, we brainwash them early, so.
But that's the goal, that if God calls them to California, that they can go to California, or they go to Africa, or they could go be, you know, they could be a missionary anywhere. I mean, that this is the goal of being an obedient parent, is to raise them in the way that God has created them to be and to watch them go. And that is still, at this point in my life, one of the scariest things. I know there's parents out here that are in the middle of that, mm-hmm. or have watched it happen, or it's coming up very soon. Yeah. And my heart is like already beating like this for you. But the thing is, and at the same time, when I'm not in it, I can have this perspective of, oh, they're going to be great. But obviously when you're, you know, when it's not your situation at the time, it feels different. But in my brain, that feels a little bit like a cruel joke, that the goal is for them to be completely independent of you. The other BFO that I had is that my kids aren't really mine. They weren't mine to begin with, and they're not mine for eternity. They were a gift. They were given to me, and I didn't deserve them necessarily. I wanted them, and I didn't know what I was getting, but they were a gift, and that they're ours to raise and to love and to do the best that we can. But it's not my job to make them into someone they're not, or to guide their path so tightly that it restricts them or confines them to be someone that God didn't create them to be. Mm-hmm. And also that the giver of this gift also gives enough grace and wisdom and hope and creative ideas and support in our lives so that you can be the kind of mom or the parent or the friend or whatever your situation, if you're not a mom. God is the giver of these things. And if he gave you the gift of these kids, he gives you the gift of the resources and the wisdom if we're willing to tap into him and what he has for us in raising them.
Yeah, and that brings us to the second of two passages. This one takes a little bit longer to find. It's in 1 Samuel. We're going to look at 1 Samuel starting with chapter 1, verse 27. Why don't you start turning there? I want to give you some of the backstory because it's very interesting. We're going to look at a woman who doesn't get a lot of press, doesn't get a lot of speaking about her in churches, but is really quite an amazing woman. Her name's Hannah, and we find her account in 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 2, and we're gonna begin by looking at verse 27. But here's some background. Hannah was married to a guy who happened to also at the same time be married to somebody else. So this guy has two wives. And his other wife, she has kids with her husband. And Hannah doesn't have any. And in the day, that was looked upon as not just missing out. That was looked upon as more or less cursed by God. And so here is this woman who apparently is this God-honoring woman who, like many women that I know, finds herself unable to conceive, something that she wants deeply, finds herself unable to have happen. And to make matters worse, this other wife, she needles her. Just needles her. To the point of, it says in the scripture that there was times where Hannah would just weep and she couldn't even eat. And teens, you can relate to that. Adults, you can relate to that. Women know how to get under women's skin way better than guys know how to get under anybody's skin. You know, we'll hit each other and then, I don't know, get charges or something like that. But it's worse with women because they know how to just... And this was happening to Hannah. And to make it even more magnified, three times a year in this time, all Israelite men needed to make a spiritual pilgrimage to wherever was considered ground zero for God at that time. And at that time, it was this city called Shiloh. That's where they had set up this tabernacle of the Lord. And three times a year, all the men would have to go there, and often they'd bring their families. And what made this particularly hard, I would imagine, for Hannah, is that one of these feasts was called the Feast of Tabernacles. And it celebrated a couple things. Originally, it was supposed to celebrate the fact that God had rescued his chosen people out of Egypt. And so this would be hard because you're making this pilgrimage to celebrate that God had kept his promise to Abraham and blessed his family with many descendants. This God of miracles had blessed them with all these kids. So all the way there to celebrate this, she's getting needled. Yeah, and where's your blessing? You know? And not only that, but over time, that Feast of Tabernacles also came to commemorate that God is good, and he is the God of the harvest, and he brings life out of the ground. And there was a term that we now translate as barren that was just one of the worst things that a woman could have labeled, and that's how Hannah was labeled. So that's a little bit of background. Now, she's praised, she prays to God for a son. And let me read something. We won't have this one on the, I decided to add this morning. It won't be on the screens, but if you have your Bibles, take a look at chapter 1, verse 12. I'll read this, and if you've got your Bibles, you can follow along, and then we'll be able to pick up her prayer here in a little bit. But this is what it says. She's there, she's in Shiloh, and she's praying. It says, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli, anybody remember him? We talked about him last week. He's the priest. He's the high priest, okay? So Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of the wine. Remember we said about Eli was kind of slipping over time? Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant as a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Well, God did hear her prayer. It says the Lord remembered her, which is a very interesting statement. He remembered her. She conceives, she gives birth, and she keeps her promise. She says that, I'm going to dedicate, later on she says, I'm going to dedicate, God, if you give me this child, I will dedicate them fully to you. They are yours, I will dedicate them fully to you. The baby comes, and now, I believe this we have on the screens, but also let's look along if you have your Bibles. Continuing on with verse 27. This time comes to pass. She goes to the temple. She sees Eli there and says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And she worshiped the Lord there. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high, my mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken. Those who are stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food. But those who were hungry, hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children. But she who has many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings up down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles. He exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with the princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set his world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and anoint the horn of his anointed. You know, all of that to say that Hannah understood a deeper reality. Instead of trying to completely control her situation, instead of completely giving up hope, she prayed and she trusted a God who was big enough to hear her prayer, and then ultimately trusted God with her son. She did what she promised. She literally turned him over to the care of Eli.
Gulp.
Yeah.
I think there's moments when maybe I've been able to feel like you really, that I've been able to give something over to God in that way. But I think one of the, Hannah's name means grace or favor. And that just kind of made me laugh because I was like, yeah, that's not my name. That's not my first name or my middle name or my last name, grace or favor. Patience either, that's not in there. But Hannah's example of the way that she gave her son over, in some ways, thank you, God, that he does not require necessarily that of us in that way. And yet at the same time, what an example that she was. And there are ways that in 2009, is that what we're in?
We are.
Mom brain.
Yeah.
2009, that we can give our kids over. And we don't have to drop them off at the temple and allow someone else to raise them. But in the moment, there have been a few things. I have not. I think that moms getting together and sharing some of their ideas would be a really great thing to do. But one of the things in certain moments where I feel like I'm ready and I'm kind of bubbling and I could be, you know, ready to say something I know I'm going to regret or hurt some feelings or do something that I know is not maybe the way God would want me to handle the situation, but yet I'm done. I have nothing left in me. The patience is gone, the self-control is gone, that kind of stuff. And every once in a while, I will remember just to start praying for the fruits of the Spirit, whichever ones come to mind. And sometimes it's just a few, and a lot of them times it's self-control and patience. But I'll start as many as I can, like, God, please give me the fruits of the Spirit, give me, and then I'll just go through and name as many of them as I can, whether it's out loud or in my head. Sometimes I don't want them to hear me saying it, so I just do it privately with God. But it can be a turning point, and that's one. It's just a minor thing, and yet at the same time, it's huge because it's recognizing you're empty, and that can happen really, really easily. And we're not full of grace. We have our banks of grace are like they don't just runneth over. You know, there's they can get used up, and we need to continually be going back and asking for more, and to be dedicating our kids in that way. I think another way we can continually dedicate our kids to God is by allowing them to be who they were created to be instead of who we think that they should become. Tricky. You can watch me try to live that because it's tricky. I have ideas for my kids and for our life and what that might look like, and I have to remind myself about what God might want for them and to be praying for His plans to come in fruition into their lives, whatever that might mean. And I think that's another way that we can bring our kids to the temple. One other one that's obviously, I think, probably the most obvious is to be the best example that you can by showing them a relationship with the Lord, by showing them that you're growing, by sometimes saying, I don't know, but let's find out. I think those are some of the ways we can dedicate and give our kids over is by being a real example of a mom who's trying to find her way in her relationship with God, trying to raise them in the same way and doing the best that we can. And just a final thought, which seems kind of like an obvious analogy back to our video, is that when I was watching that video, even the first time I saw it, I wasn't looking at it necessarily through a spiritual lens, but looking at it and thinking about it in light of Mother's Day. And, you know, not everyone in this room is a mom, but everybody in this room has a life full of responsibility and demands and all these different things. And the truth of the matter is, when you are the ringmaster, you live in the family circus. And as moms, a lot of times we are the ringmaster. We're the ones where a little, you know, the CEO of the home or whatever people want to call it, whether you are a stay-at-home mom or you're a working mom or whatever it is, you're still the mom, and a lot of things come in and through you. And if we allow ourselves to be the center, it can feel like a circus. And then our family and our duties are focused in the wrong place. And if we can, bit by bit, little by little, allow God His place at the center of our families and in our lives, gradually these areas can feel less like the chaos and the circus that we got to watch on the video.
Absolutely. And the Word of God says, honor your father and mother. And, you know, none of us look back. I would imagine none of us look back and go, yeah, I had the perfect mom. Because perfection is impossible. And, you know, as a parent, you get thrown into this. And with your best preparation and the best mentoring, it is not just hard, it's impossible. Because ultimately, we can't raise our kids. So, you know, one takeaway, if your mom is, well, you know what, not if, everyone has a mom somewhere in their life. Yours may be living, yours may be not. But make sure that you affirm some mom today. You know, moms do the same. You know, affirm some mom today. Tell them thanks for what you do. You know, pray for some moms in your life more than you do.
Excuse me, is it women, is there any greater compliment than another woman complimenting you either on your kids or your hair or your whatever it is? Yep. But woman to woman, there's just something a little bit more powerful to that compliment than some others, I feel, at least. When women speak into each other's lives, there's something deeper and richer, and we believe it because we don't want to fill each other up with a bunch of junk. But
That's true.
But we also forget to do it. We can see moms in action and forget to tell them that we see wonderful things happening and they might need to hear it.
Yeah. So do that today. Honor them. And I'm having a BFO right now. I hadn't planned to say this, but we'll talk more about this later. No, this is good. it's always dangerous, yeah.
I have a microphone, so you go right ahead. I can shoot back.
All right. Oh. You go ahead and shoot back from this one, because this is from the heart. I'm having this moment up here where the Word of God says, we're to honor, father and mothers, and we're to honor and respect, all people. But the Scripture, a couple different times, talks about double honor. And I'm having the BFO, you're worthy of a double honor right now. You can see you don't get a chance to see her too much unless you interact with her in the children's ministry. But, I married up huge. And she is this, I did, hold on. I'm trying not to embarrass, but you need to hear this, and they need to hear this. Here's this gifted, talented, amazing person who God could have taken you so many different places, and you chose to get married to a guy who thinks he knows what God has for him and everybody else. And,
okay, you can keep going.
Yeah. And that's right, and I keep him grounded. And so here, in a lot of ways, although a big part of your dream was, to have kids and things, so much of your life really does revolve around about this whole thing that God's got us mixed up in. She's a woman who is worthy of a double honor, and two things that specifically come to mind that you could do to help with that is to pray for us. We covet your prayers. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, and we would covet your prayers that God would continue to protect and guide our family and give her wisdom and strength. Also, in a very practical way, think and pray about getting involved with the kids' ministry. We have not just Laura, but we have so many people. All of you who are somehow connected with the kids' ministry, could you raise your hand? We have this amazing team. Everybody who, from setting up to taking down, we could use some more help if God calls you into that, to help shoulder the weight as we try to be mothers and fathers and big brothers and sisters to all these precious little ones. We need help, right? Moms, we can't raise our kids completely ourselves. We need help from the community of faith. That's part of how God designed it to work. So those that could step in, that would be another way to show honor. Well, as we close today, we want to pray for all the moms represented. And then we also, as we come to the final closing, have a prayer that I'd like us all to pray. So would you please join me? Why don't we all stand up? I want to start by praying for moms specifically in different stages. And then we have a prayer that I'd like us all to pray at the end that comes right out of, it's basically a prayer that Hannah prayed. So please join me and let me pray first. Lord, we come together as a community and we pray for moms. Lord, I want to start by praying for people in Hannah's situation before she had a child, that situation of longing to have a child, but not. And Lord, there are all kinds of people in all kinds of different situations, and we pray for your grace to come into their lives. Lord, give them hope. Give them peace. Give them the deep sense of your presence. Fill them with love. Fill them with everything that they need as they live and exist in a place that's so hard, especially on days like this. So Lord, fill them with your peace that passes all understanding, and may they directly know that comes from you. Lord, we pray for those who are expecting. Lord, we pray for their pregnancies to be blessed, to be healthy, for everything to go well. May no weapon formed against any of these moms that we have or are about to pray for prosper. In particular, protect those little ones as you knit them together. Prepare them as best anyone can be prepared. Lord, we pray for moms of infants and toddlers and little kids. Lord, extend your grace to them. Fill them, as Laura said, with your spirit. And Lord, we even pray that you would remind them to ask you for the fruit of the Spirit. We pray that you would be so gracious as to give it to them. Give them patience and peace and kindness and goodness and self-control when they have none of their own. We pray that you would produce that fruit in them. Lord, we ask that. And we pray for parents of older kids and teens. Lord, we pray that you would help them navigate now that their kids are becoming these adults. Lord, we pray that you give them extra wisdom as they enter these stages, and we pray that you help them send peace into the household. Lord, help them. And we pray for parents of adult kids and grandparents, Lord. Help them in this stage, Lord, to know how to be the moms that you would have them to be. Lord, we also pray for moms who have babies in heaven. Lord, we pray that you will grant them that peace and that hope that this is not the end. Lord, help them in those times, Lord, to turn to you, even if their heart doesn't want to, Lord. Even if there's bitterness, Lord, help them break through that. Help them to understand that there are things that are beyond understanding, but that we can hold firm to the fact that you defeated death and that there will be another resurrection that we are a part of. So, Lord, help them to cling to that hope. So, Lord, we pray for all of these people. And we pray, oh, thanks. And we pray also for single moms. Lord, they need grace. May every mom who's out there trying to do this feeling alone, may none of them no longer feel alone. Lord, may you step in and help be that father to the fatherless or the father at the time where two are needed or whatever their individual case may be, God. We do pray for those single moms. We pray that you will continue to send godly people into their life who can help them, who can grant them rest and grant them peace. I have this picture there, the hurricane, and there they are in the eye. Lord, give them those eye of the hurricane moments where there is calm and there is peace, and let them enjoy and soak in and get braced for the inevitable. So, Lord, we pray for all of these women. Lord, be with them. Grant them grace. In Jesus' name. Now, before you go, I want us to pray together Hannah's prayer. And you're going to need to do this. If we could put that on the screen. This is right out of Scripture, and it's so important for us to pray Scripture. We need to talk about that more, of how do you do that. Well, here's one way we can do it. And you'll need to contextualize it, because everyone's in a different situation, especially dudes. So you might need to think of a niece or a nephew. You might think, I will pray rather than I have prayed. Whatever your individual situation is, put yourself in there, and let's pray this together as we close the service. Let's pray. I have prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give them to the Lord. For their whole life, they will be given to the Lord, over to the Lord. Well, go in peace and go in grace and go knowing that the God who is there for Hannah is the God who desires to be a part of our life. Have a very happy Mother's Day. Make sure you wish the mothers in your life a happy Mother's Day.